Well, good morning, everybody. We are continuing with the parables of Jesus Christ. And this morning we are looking at Luke chapter 17 and verses 7 to 10. Suppose one of you had a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Would he not rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink"? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, would say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." You know, people struggle with this parable. Parables are not always easy to understand. Parables can be confusing. And as we look at this parable this morning, let me just sort of put it into my words what Jesus is saying, the picture that he is given. For start off, we have the word servant. And we have the word servant quite a lot in the New Testament. It's not a correct or literal translation. The actual word means slave. And when Jesus talks about servants, or Paul talks about being a servant, we should really be using the word slave. Slave is much more accurate to say. So this is what Jesus is saying. A slave had been working all day, and he comes in and he's tired and he's weary, he's exhausted. And Jesus says to his disciples, you see, this parable is for his disciples, his followers. And he says to them, "Would you say, 'Come and eat with me'? Of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't say that. You would say, 'Prepare my meal. Go and get washed, get changed, serve me. And when you've done all that and I'm satisfied, then you can eat.' Would you thank him for doing his job? After all, he is your slave." And this kind of relationship between master and slave would have been well known to his disciples. Small farms would have had like one slave to do all their manual work. Because he's your slave, why would you thank him? So Jesus says to his disciples, exactly. You are the same as this slave. It's no big thing to do as I have commanded. It is expected. It is required. It is your duty. You are unworthy slaves. You're just servants. You're just slaves. Nothing more, nothing less. But what was Jesus trying to teach? What is the principle behind this parable? What's the main thought that Jesus wants us to understand this morning? You know, if you look in commentaries, there's like two ways of looking at this parable, but both, I feel, fall short. Both, I feel, do not really get to the heart of this parable, and therefore they have difficulties. One way is to teach that this is the picture of relationship between God and those who are called into his kingdom. It's a picture of God being the master and we being unworthy servants who out of duty just serve him. The problem with this view is that God then becomes distant and harsh, uncaring, unloving. There's no fellowship. They don't eat together. God appears as a taskmaster, a slave driver, who requires his servants, already exhausted and tired with a full day's work in the fields, to render him extra household service in the evening, before they can get any food and rest, which is what they really want to do. The master is ungracious. He's unmerciful. He doesn't thank his tired slaves. And he just said, "This is what you're meant to do. This is just what's expected of you." And then you see the picture of this, is that these slaves, these servants, require to submit to his merciless, ungracious treatment without complaint, because it's just their duty. They must even go to the length of making the acknowledgement that in all their work day and night they have just been unprofitable servants. All they've done is what's expected of them. That looks a harsh picture of God, and so unlike Christ. It seems heartless, it seems legal, it seems inhuman. This representation of God and man, between those who call them Abba, Father, is not borne out with the rest of Scripture. If you remember that when we look at the parables, it has to be in agreement with the plain truths of the Bible. And that view, I find, is not right. And I don't think the parable is trying to teach God's relationship with his people, with those who cry out, Abba, Father. Does God really see us like that? Does Jesus? Did not Jesus say, you are no longer slaves, but friends? So there's another way of looking at this parable. The other way of looking at it is to say that it just applies to the Pharisees. That Jesus was pointing out that the Pharisees just did things out of habit. They just did things out of duty. But that's a problem also, because that's just showing that men who have a legalism in their hearts do not really serve God. And God sees this, and it's not right, is it? That all Jesus was really teaching is that religious people were acting like men hired to do a certain work, in return for which they would receive meals. They did their duty. They just did it, really. They didn't want to do it. Their heart wasn't in it. But they did it to be fed. They did it because it was their job. They did it because it was their work. And Jesus was saying that kind of thing doesn't deserve thanks. They really were unprofitable servants. And such men are pointed out as persons not to be imitated. Jesus says, in fact, be not like these. Don't be like the Pharisees. Serve God differently, and you will get a different treatment. Serve God in this way, and God will treat you as slaves. Serve God freely, and you'll be treated as sons. Problem with that parable is that we think it doesn't apply to us. We think, well, I'm not legalistic. I'm not doing things just out of a sense of duty. I'm not serving him because I feel I have to. So this parable doesn't apply. This parable is addressed to his followers. It's addressed to disciples. So this parable is for everyone. So what does it mean? Jesus says we are friends, not slaves. But even that can be misunderstood. We were all slaves of the devil. I want to say this morning that the principle of this parable is simple. And it's because of that word that most translations have servants and should have slaves. What Jesus is saying is this: because I loved you. This is putting other verses in the scriptures together. Because I love you. Because I gave my life for you. Because you say you love me and you know me. You will have the attitude of a slave. That's what I think this parable is about. You see, we're no longer our own. We have been purchased. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed. And now, unlike the slave in the parable, who had no choice but to do what he was told to do, had no choice but to perform his duty, we have a choice. And we have a choice this morning to have an attitude of serving God like a slave. I know it's more popular to say servants than the word slave. But you know, if you want to get the picture of this parable, we need to think of being like a slave. That as God's people, we are to be watchful. We are to be fruitful. We are to be obedient slaves until he comes. And at the same time, we are the friends of God. Abraham was a friend of God, and he was still a servant, a slave of God. He walked in willing obedience, willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. You see, these two interpretations that I gave. These other do not work. One has a wrong view of God. The other only applies to false servants who serve out of payment, duty, legalism. This parable is for all of us, all who claim to be a follower of Jesus. The purpose of this parable, as I've just said, is an attitude of a believer, the follower of Christ, who's redeemed, sanctified, forgiven, cleansed, set free, can call Abba Father, now has an attitude of a slave, to follow, to obey. Have we got that attitude this morning? You see, Jesus is teaching obedience. He's teaching what it means to be a servant. He's teaching what it is to be a slave. If we want to be salt, if we want to be light, if we want to be faithful, if we want to be fruitful, oh, the burden is enormous. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. But do we see ourselves as slaves to God? God is loving. God is gracious. God is merciful. There'll be times of rest. There's times of relaxation. Of course there is. But the parable teaches that we are slaves, set free to have fellowship, set free to be a friend of Jesus. In John's letters, he makes a startling claim. If we claim to know him, and I'm going to add, if we claim to be his friend, to love him, and not have this attitude of obedience, not have this attitude of a slave, we don't really know him. We don't really follow him as we should. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 5. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. The purpose of a slave, the purpose of a servant, is to carry out the commands of his master. Another phrase used in the New Testament is ambassadors of Christ. What do ambassadors do? They carry out their master's wishes. I just want us to see this morning the other side of the coin. We hear a lot about Abba Father being a friend, how he loves us, and that's all true. But that should not mean that we do not have the attitude of a slave, of serving him, of obeying him. 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. If we're going to claim to be a follower, if we're going to be a claim that we've been born again, washed, cleansed, forgiven, whatever terms we want to use, we must walk as he did. It says in Matthew, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And in Philippians, make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Did you notice that our attitude should be the same as Jesus, who took the very nature of a servant? The word there literally should, again, if correctly translated, should say slave. He took on the nature of a slave. Our attitude should be the same. He says in John, if you love me, you will obey me. Do you see this morning that if we want to follow him, if we claim to follow him, if we claim that we are his, then obedience, servanthood, follows. Get the picture? We are servant. We are slaves who God loves. And yes, he's our friend. But that does not mean we should not have the attitude of being a slave. We are not slaves to fear. We are not slaves to sin. But we are slaves to obey, slaves to serve. Our friends, we've looked at parables to be the good Samaritan, to be salt, to be light, to be fruitful, to look for that lost sheep. We need the attitude of a slave. Why? Otherwise we might not bother. We might think, what's the point? We might think we don't have to. Our friends this morning, I just want us to see that Jesus placed a lot of importance on this attitude of being a slave, this attitude of obedience, this attitude of doing what he says. He went on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who hears the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. Those who did miracles in the name of Jesus, he says he never knew them. Why? Because they did not do the will of the Father. Why? Because they did not have the attitude of a servant. They did not have the attitude of a slave. They were doing what they wanted. They were doing it for the praise. And I know that this feels like that first interpretation, but I just want to put it out there this morning. If we are truly saved, if we are truly believers in Jesus Christ who have repented, and we know how much grace and mercy and love he has poured upon us, then we would be so careful that what we do is because we've heard from him. What we do will come with the attitude of a slave. What we do will come because we just want to please him, and we do this by obeying him. You see, in this parable, Jesus was not saying anything about this is the way to be saved. He wasn't saying that obedience and being the attitude of a slave will save you. He's actually saying that if you are saved, if you are born again, you should have the attitude of a slave. You should have the attitude of obedience, of a willingness to obey and serve him. You see, if we think that by being a slave and serving him we'll win salvation, that's a false hope. That's being deluded. But to be saved by his grace and then serve him, that's the right order. That's what he is looking for. Well, I'm going to quickly just say one or two things about what it means to be a servant, a slave of Jesus. How does it reveal itself? What kind of attitude should be in our hearts and lives? I want to say this attitude means we never come to a place where we think we're finished. Our job is done. We can rest. We can retire. If we're a follower of Jesus, then this attitude of being a slave, this attitude of being a servant is never finished. You know that slave in the parable, he had been out all day in the heat, looking after sheep, maybe ploughing a field. Then he came in tired, and then he was set another task. Go and prepare my meal, but get your hands washed and change your clothes. This tells me this, that we're never out of service. We're never off duty. God can ask us at any time to serve. God can ask at any time to do something. We're on duty all the time. And it also says that there's a variety of tasks, there's a variety of things he's going to ask us to do. You know, some people start off serving him as a Sunday school teacher and they might finish up doing something else. I just want to say this morning, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your intellect, it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Well, we can all be slaves and all be servants and all serve him in obedience. And it never ends. There's always something he will ask us to do. But, you know, let's turn it on its side and say this. Also, if we've got the attitude of a slave, we should not wish for it to come to an end. You know, that poor guy probably came in and just wished he could sit down and just relax and finish. And some believers get to that point. Some followers of Jesus just wish that it would end, just wish that they could retire from serving God, that they could just give it all up and stop serving him. But yeah, they can still believe, they'll still get to spend eternity with him. Oh, but they just wish they didn't have to serve him anymore. This parable, I believe, is saying this. If we're going to have the attitude of a slave, of a servant, we should never desire for God to stop using us. There's always something that he will ask us to do. And I just find that wonderful, wonderful. And of course, the obvious one is that as a slave, as a servant, we must always put him first. We must always choose that which will glorify him, that which would please him. We must really put him first. And also we must put others first. We must put others' people's needs above our own. That's the attitude of a slave. That's the attitude of a servant. That's what God is asking of us this morning. You see, the teaching that Jesus implied in this parable, I believe, is this. That the kingdom of God will make demands on us as followers of his. But you know, when we look at other things Jesus said, we need an attitude of a servant. We need an attitude of a slave. For he said, seek you first the kingdom of God. He also said, let the dead bury their dead, but go and preach to the kingdom of God. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And people say these are hard sayings. These are difficult truths, and we try to sort of make them simpler. We try to make them easier, more pleasant, less demanding on us. But Jesus says, I believe in this parable, that we need an attitude of a slave because we love him. Because he loves us. You see, if God asks us to do something and we ignore it or we go against it, we really haven't understood the love of God. He asks us to do something, to serve him or to speak to someone. Everything he asks comes from his love. And therefore, once we realize that he's only asking us to obey him and to serve him because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. This is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. If we know and believe the love that God has for us, his commands will not be burdensome. To have an attitude of a slave is not a burden. To have an attitude of a slave is not something heavy put upon us, but it's actually freedom. Freedom. To have this attitude of following Jesus. Having an attitude of a slave. Jesus in this parable is teaching that to live for him, we must live as slaves, set free by him, purchased to serve him. I must just mention in closing, I don't want anyone to go away that he thinks we are unworthy. Unworthy servants. The sense of unworthiness is not the same as a sense of worthlessness. A person with healthy self-worth can have a healthy sense of unworthiness. Developing the attitude of a slave, developing the attitude of following Jesus, obeying him, is a work of God's grace in our hearts, and following the example of Jesus, who is our model. To walk and live in the Spirit is to live as a servant, a slave of God. Jesus lifts up a model of servanthood that seeks the advancement of the Master and not ourselves. It performs service with an expectation of praise or reward, and obediently serves with humility and love. Isn't Prince Philip an example of that, of how he served the Queen? If you want to know what an attitude of a slave is, an attitude of a servant is, yes, look at Jesus, who had the attitude of a servant. If you want to see something visual, something up to date, look at the life of Prince Philip. As followers of Jesus, we need to focus our eyes that God is our only goal, to serve him and please him. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you born again? Do you say that you know him? Do you say you love him? Then the parable to me says this: because he loves you, oh, please choose to be a slave. Choose to have that attitude, to keep his word, to build on rock and not on the sand, to be salt, to be light, to be faithful servants until he comes. Oh, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a slave, that you have called us to serve you. May we have the same attitude that was in Jesus and follow his example as we live by being salt and light to those we meet. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.